the theme, well, it was Thomas Jefferson who said that if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. So it's really important for us to understand the truth about our history, the truth about our nation, and the role that God has played in the life of this nation, because you're not going to hear it in the fake news media out there. So we need to know the truth, because we know that the truth is what sets us free. Amen? Amen. So let's begin by the Word of God. I just want to begin with Psalm 78 for a minute, because it's important to know not only what Jefferson said, as important as he was, but it's even more important to know what the King of Kings has said about our responsibility. Psalm 78 says this. It says, O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they, in turn, would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. Let me just open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word that gives us instructions for life and liberty. We ask You, Father, to come now by Your Spirit and speak to us. Help us leave from this place with a renewed sense of responsibility to carry on our tradition, our Christian traditions, and teach them to our children and to our children's children. And we'll be true to give You the honor and the praise. And we say it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, it's funny because the theme today is about sportsmanship. And so I just thought to begin a little bit with reminding us about really sportsmanship is in the DNA of this country. People don't realize how important it was. You know, George Washington, going back to him, he was a big fox hunter. Back in those days in Mount Vernon, George Washington would invite his business partners, his friends, and they would go on these fox hunting trips. I guess it's probably almost like Trump invites his buddies to come to play golf with him. But back in those days, the rage was fox hunting, and particularly in the fall and in the autumn, in the 18th century, fox hunting became the rage for men. But fox hunting wasn't all that safe. I thought this was interesting. It was a report by a Dr. William Beebe, who lived in Maryland near Mount Vernon, and he said this about their sport. Listen to this. He said, frequent instances have occurred where in leaping the fence or passing over gullies or in the woods, the rider has been thrown from his horse and his brains dashed out or otherwise killed suddenly. This, however, never stopped the chase. One or two are left to take care of the dead body and the others pursue. Old men whose heads were white with age as eager in the chase as a boy of 16. All right. So understand, sports was always in the DNA of this country, and we need to recognize it and know that it's part of who we are. We just celebrated our 242nd anniversary this past July in this nation that was birthed in liberty, the first nation ever established, not by conquest or by totalitarian rule, but by men who came together to agree on a particular form of government. And they contracted together, they covenanted together to form this country, and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to be faithful to the dictates of that covenant. And it was in the very first document that is one of the organic documents that the founding of this country, the Mayflower Compact, when they were out on the shore of Plymouth, and they came together and they formed it, and they said why they came to this country. They didn't come here for religious freedom, as much as that was part of the vision, but they said, and I quote, they said, for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian religion. That's specifically why this nation was founded. And this is the only nation in world history that was founded for that purpose. And that's why we have been an exceptional nation. And as long as we have acknowledged that God is the reason why we exist, God has responded by giving us favor and allowing us to be a country unlike any other throughout the world. Now, when we went through our war for independence, we kind of triggered revolutions throughout the world, in fact. All right, at that point, France, Russia, Italy, they all had their revolutions a little bit after we had ours. But ours is the only country out of all of those who is now under the same piece of paper. 231 years after the Constitution was written, we're still under the same Constitution, the same government. Other countries like France, who had their revolution after ours, they had over 7 different governments. Right? Italy has had over 50. All right? And imagine what it would be like, you know, going to bed at night and not knowing what your government was going to look like in the morning. Okay? And yet that was the norm. What we have is unique. It's exceptional in all of world history. And we need to understand that. Yet as Christians, we got to realize that our liberty is given to us as a sacred trust. The American Christian is the most blessed person in the entire world, because we are a people who are doubly blessed. First of all, we have the cross as a symbol of our eternal liberty from sin, hell, death, and the grave. And if there's anyone here today that has not yet accepted Christ as your Savior, I pray that today will be a new day in your life. But not only do we have the cross, we also have the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor to symbolize our civic liberty. So in that sense, we are a doubly blessed people. But with that double blessing comes a double responsibility. First, we must be faithful to God. I've often said, God isn't asking for much, just all you got. He doesn't want your religion. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't necessarily want your attendance in church on Sunday morning, as important as that is. He wants your heart. Whatever it is that you have, that's what God wants. An understanding that we were created for a greater cause than ourselves. And we, the people of God, have a responsibility to our families, to our communities, to our nation, to really be good stewards of this gift of liberty. It was Charles Finney, a revivalist of the Second Great Awakening, who said this. He says, politics are a part of a religion in such a country as this, and Christians must do their duty to their country as part of their duty to God. God will bless or curse this nation according to the course Christians take in politics. You see, you can't expect the ungodly people to live in godly ways and rule in godly ways. It just won't work. It's not logical. It's up to the people of God. We're the ones. It was Edmund Burke who said that. He said, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And God forbid that we become those good men and women who do nothing, because we will see this gift of liberty pass us right on by. So how do we do that? We begin with revival in our own hearts and in the nation, learning the truth. Now understand this. Calvin Coolidge, President of the United States, said this. Listen to this. He said, the authority of law, the right of equality, liberty, and property under American institutions have for their foundation reverence for God. If we could imagine that these to be swept away, these institutions of our American government could not long survive. President Eisenhower, 1953. Without God, there could be no American form of government, nor an American way of life. Recognition of the Supreme Being is the first, the foremost basic expression of Americanism. Ronald Reagan, 1984. Without God, there is no virtue, because there's no prompting of the conscience. Without God, there is a coarsening of the society. Without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, we will be one nation gone under. So we need to teach the truth about our history. These were men, presidents, who spoke about the necessity to keep God central in our government. Understand this, you know, on our coin it says, "In God we trust." That's our national motto. It's not in the Republicans we trust, or the Democrats we trust, or Congress we trust, or the governor we trust. No, it's not even in the Constitution that we trust, as important as that is. It's in God that we place our trust. Because it's our trust in God that gave us the Constitution. The Constitution is nothing more but the civic working out of this book. The principles of this book put in a form that we could organize our social lives and government lives. That's what the U.S. Constitution is all about. So we have some free ones out there left on the table about our U.S. Constitution as well. But we need to understand, as Christians, we've bought the lie about separation of church and state. We bought the lie that we don't want to get involved in politics. God forbid that those words ever come out of our mouths again, that we should say, "I don't do politics. I'm too busy worshiping God." Don't mix up God with my... You understand this. Being involved in politics, Jesus told us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Not the salt in the church and the light in your prayer closet. So we need to understand that being involved in politics is part of fulfilling the mandates of the gospel. Not only that, Jesus taught us. He taught us to give unto God what is God's, but give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And what is due unto Caesar's in a nation like ours? It's the informed participation of the American Christian. We need to be engaged and involved in the politics. Instead of complaining about the politicians, guess what? We need to be them. Because where the righteous rule, the people rejoice. But where the wicked rule, the people groan. So understand, that's why a couple of years ago I actually ran for assembly, because I got so upset at the assemblyman who was representing my area was actually sponsoring a bill they call conversion therapy. Now Penny and I, we're marriage counselors, that's our full-time ministry in Newburgh. But this bill that he passed actually would have made it illegal for me to counsel a young man, a minor, who came to my office and wanted counseling because he felt tendencies towards homosexuality, but he wanted to live a good, straight Christian life. And if I counseled him in that direction, it'd be a felony. Now, when I read that, I said, "That is absolutely crazy." At first, I didn't believe it. And then I looked and I saw, that's the law in California. So I got so upset. I said, you know, and then I started looking at the rest of this guy's voting record. I saw he was pro-abortion, pro-same-sex marriage, and I started complaining to God. I said, "God, you got to do something about this guy." And God said, "I did. I created you." So we need to realize God might be doing something in your life. He might be creating you to represent your community in Albany or in D.C. or wherever. Understand, it's we the people that are responsible for this. Now, I didn't win the election, but God didn't call me to win. He called me to run. And even in running, I was able to have a platform to share the Word of God and how important it is for our politicians to get rerooted in the foundation of God's Word. Recently, I went to a Watchman on the Wall conference in D.C. Every year we get together with about 300 clergy from around the country, different denominations, different churches. We come together in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. Amen? We come together for two purposes. Number one, to pray for our country as one body, as one new man. And secondly, to listen to hear what it is that God is speaking to us about concerning stewardship of liberty in this nation. And the word that came to us then was from John 9:4, where he says, "We must work while it is day, because time is coming when no one will be able to work." So there's got to be a sense of urgency. Understand, with the election of President Trump, God is giving us a window of opportunity. a window of opportunity to really seize it and say, you know, we need to move forward with this. Now that we have someone in the White House who's not going to come down on Christianity, who's not going to come down on faith, but it's going to proclaim faith. Now we need to say, okay, God, how can I be a witness? And wherever you are, you must be a witness. That's our biblical mandate. I don't care if you keep a Christian plaque on your desk at work, or you get kind of a bumper sticker, or do something. I'm not saying you got to go out shouting hallelujah, praise the Lord, and shoving the gospel down everybody's throats. But man, you need to let people know that you are a man, a woman of faith. So that they will be reminded that this is not a secular nation. This is not a godless nation. We are one nation under God. And we must each do our part to do what God has called us to do. To be a faithful witness of the gift of liberty. Otherwise, we'll lose it. You know, Ronald Reagan, he was the one that said, I think this was our theme last year, he said, liberties are never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for and protected, or we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was like in America when men were free. God forbid I ever have to tell I have two grandchildren. God forbid I ever have to tell them what it was like in America when men were free. But if we're not faithful stewards of this gift of liberty, we can lose it if we take it for granted. We have to begin on the local level. Maybe God is calling you to run for school board or town council or for mayor of your town or your city. We need to start at the local level. And maybe God is calling you to be dog catcher. Whatever God is calling you to do, you need to be able to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to serve. And understand it's about something much bigger than you. It's about being a good steward of the gift of liberty, particularly here in New York State, where some people have already written us off. But understand this, New York State was established for the glory of God. Our New York State Constitution says this, and I want to just begin with this. Here's the Constitution. We the people of the state of New York, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, in order to secure its blessings, do establish this Constitution. So that's why our New York State Constitution was written. Not to give away welfare money, not to provide free health care, but to establish the security of blessings in this country. Amen? The purpose of our state, as well as our national constitution, is not free college for all or to provide universal health care, as wonderful as that might sound, but it's rather to secure the blessings of liberty. Those blessings given by our blessor. Amen?
Amen.
If you're going to have blessings, they have to come from a blessor. And the government is not the blessor. Amen? It's God Almighty. Even JFK, the last good Democrat, told us this in his inaugural address, January 20th, 1961. President Kennedy proclaimed this. He said, "The rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it, and the glow from that fire can truly light the world." And so, my fellow American, this is the one that we all remember. Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. This is the part that nobody talks about, but he said this. So let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking his blessing and his help, knowing that here on earth, God's work must truly be our own.
Amen.
November 22nd, 1963, President John F. Kennedy was killed in an assassination plot. The speech he was about to deliver concluded with these words. He said, "We in this country, in this generation, are by destiny rather than choice the watchmen on the walls of world freedom. We ask therefore that we may be worthy of our power and responsibility, that we may exercise our strength with wisdom and restraint, and that we may achieve in our time and for all time the ancient vision of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That must always be our goal, for as was written long ago, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." He wasn't a preacher. He was the president of the United States. So you see, I'm not some right-wing radical wacko, but I'm simply repeating once again the voice of patriot prophets through the ages that have always called us back to God. With the election of Donald J. Trump as president, we have begun a turnaround back to the principles that have secured the blessings of liberty. It's incumbent upon us now, the people of God, to pray like it all depends on God and work like it all depends on us to see this nation and, yes, even this state turn back to God. Until we see that day when rather than singing God Bless America, we will sing and live a life that says America Bless God. Now, if you noticed in your bulletins that we handed out, there's a, can I get one, does somebody have a spare one that I could borrow? Okay, okay, if you notice that I put in the bulletin the words to my country, 'tis of thee. All right. I just thought it would be an interesting thing for us to close out this part of the service by singing that. And then we're going to pray for our nation. Because the only way this nation is going to come back to God is through the prayers of the saints. Amen. It's going to be up to us, the people of God, to do our part to bring this nation back. God will do his part, but only in response to us doing our part. Okay? So let's just start. You have your bulletins open there. See, it says, "My country, 'tis of thee." Remember that words? Let's just sing this together a cappella. We don't need music instruments. We just sing this together. And as we're singing it, we're making this proclamation. And then we'll close in prayer as well. All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Almighty God, the creator of heavens and the earth, God who reigns supreme, we bless you, Lord of lords and King of kings. We enter into your courts with thanksgiving and praise for the salvation you made available to us through the cost of the life of your only Son, Jesus Christ. We confess we do not fully understand that kind of love. All we can do is receive it with our hearts of thanksgiving for that love you've shown toward us while we were yet sinners. And in your love, you've given us instructions for the redemption of our nation. For you told us clearly in your word when you said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. It is based on that promise that we confess that we have not been faithful stewards of the gift of liberty, but we thank you that in repentance we may find mercy. Father, you have said that if any two of us agree as to touching anything on earth, so shall it be done by our Father in heaven. And so all of us in this gathering today agree in prayer for the safety and the well-being of President Donald J. Trump and his family, Vice President Michael Pence and his family, and all the government leaders that you have placed over us, including our own Governor Cuomo. We pray for his salvation. And yet if he refuses your grace, that you would raise up another that would lead us into righteousness. For you have told us that when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. We pray for every civic leader and public servant, from our mayors, town councils, school boards, county and state legislators. Father, invade every public meeting with your presence, your power, and your grace. We agree together for a great revival in our land. You've done it in the 1700s, again in the 1800s, and we know you will do it again as we cry out to you and pray like it all depends on you, and yet we will work like it all depends on us to see this nation turn around for our children and our grandchildren and for your glory. We declare America will bless God once again, and this we say in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's warriors said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you.